touch a neighbor and say, not six, not six. The idea behind this message this morning is that God has very specific instructions when he has a blessing for you. And many times, amen, God will come and he will give us instructions on how to receive our healing, how to receive our blessing, how to receive deliverance, how to receive whatever it is that you believe in the Lord for. And God gives us instructions. In the Bible, you remember your Sunday school. You remember Naaman, amen. That's what I'm going to preach about this morning is Naaman. All right, and we gonna take part, amen, as well in this, amen. So I'm gonna be asking you guys to stand and do something, amen, towards the end of my message. All right, and there's a reason for it. So fifth chapter of 2 Kings, the Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. What was he? Captain of the king of the host of Syria. The Bible said he was honorable because by him, by who? By him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Now, see, you, my brothers and sisters, you got to start thinking more highly of yourself, amen, because God thinks more highly of you. Sometimes it's by your presence that God can take and use you, amen, to bless even a nation. Anybody believe that? My Bible tells me by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. It was because of Naaman, the Lord had given the nation of Syria, amen, deliverance. The Bible says he was also a mighty man of valor. He was a great military man, if you will. Courageous. Somebody say, but. Despite the fact that he was this great military person, this mighty man of valor, the Bible said, but he was a leper. Now, I'm going to come back to that. Let's go to verse 2. And it says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought out captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, what most would consider to be nobody, but she was somebody in the eyesight of the Lord. And what we need to understand, it doesn't matter, amen, that others may not consider us to be anybody. You need to know that God says that you are somebody. Come on, somebody say, I am somebody. And I'm not talking about Jesse Jackson. I'm talking about what the Lord says. You are somebody. Do you believe that? Do you know that? Come on. You may be a very, amen, person that nobody else may even know. You may be in the background, amen, and nobody may know your name, but you need to know you are somebody. Because God took a little maid and allowed her to be taken captive into this place, amen, so that God could use her to bring forth healing to Naaman. And so we see here, amen, that God has a way of orchestrating a blessing by placing the right person in your path at the right time, placing you in a direct course of a miracle. The Bible says that this maid waited on Naaman's wife. Mm-hmm. In verse 3 now. And she said, she had heard all of this that was going on about Naaman and how Naaman needed to be healed, amen, and, you know, all the things that was going about. And the Bible said, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. That's faith. She said, you know, everybody, well, we don't know if Naaman can be healed. She said, oh, no, my God is able to heal. I would that he could just make his way to the prophet of God. Amen. I would to God that if we could just get him, amen, to the man of God, to the prophet of God, amen, he would be healed. That's faith. We need to be like this young woman and speak up and tell somebody about Jesus, our healer. Come on, he's our healer. And he's able to heal. And if you don't tell them, then they won't know. It was by this young lady speaking up and saying, no, I know, amen, somebody who is able, amen, to heal you, and he is God. Doesn't matter what the condition is. The Bible said, for he would recover of his leprosy. Now, that's faith. That's positive there. She didn't say he might be healed. Amen. She said he would recover. Would recover. We can just get him there to the man of God, the prophet in Samaria. Amen. He would be healed of his leprosy. Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid. There it is. Nobody know her, but praise God. God will give you, amen, a type of influence by the words that you speak. Nobody may even know your name. But God will give you a powerful word that would even reach kings. Come on, somebody shout and say amen. And the Bible said that they told, amen, the king of her words. Amen. The maid. Amen. The one that nobody knew about. but she knew God. And it's a blessing in knowing the Lord. Is that right? Now, I'm going to come back. Amen. We're going to pick back up. Amen. Verse 8. But let's just take a look at this situation just for a minute, because we need to take a look at Naaman and his situation. We remember our Sunday school lesson about Naaman, the great man of valor. And so we see here, the Bible says that Naaman was the captain of the host. He was a great man. The Bible says he was an honorable man. He was well respected in the community. You ever met anyone like that? Well respected in the community. Everybody looked upon him as this great person, and he was. That's what the Bible says. Man of valor. He had all the characteristics of a general. Amen. Can you see the picture? His appearance in public was not his reality in private, though, as we're going to see. His armor made him appear like a great warrior, yet there was something gnawing at him underneath the outer covering. Stay with me. Sometimes, amen, we see people like Naaman who project certain things that appear to be this or that. They look and they sound like they have it all together, but if you pull the cover back from over the frailties and the faults, you will find out, amen, that he or she have issues. And Naaman, my brothers and sisters, although, amen, people saw him as a great man of valor, the Bible said, but he had leprosy. He had some issues. Somebody say amen. If you remove the mask and expose what's behind the disguise, then you will find who this person really is. Oh, yes, like Naaman, we can put on our military brass, but the truth is we all must deal with the private moments. When we stand alone in front of the mirror, we see what others cannot see. Come on, somebody say amen. Mirrors are amazing. Mirrors are astonishingly truthful. And so we stand alone and when we remove the military brass, what does the mirror reveal? In Naaman's case, the scars of leprosy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Not just the outer scales and the open sores, but it revealed the effects of the leprosy as well. And despite all this, God, amen, will expose his wounds so that he could be healed. God is able to unwrap us no matter what covering we manufacture in positions and titles and labels. You know what I'm talking about. Naaman had a public persona and a private persona, and what God saw in public was not really what they would see in private. Naaman had some things that he didn't want anybody to know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. See, when he would get home, amen, from amidst the crowd, he would get alone. Amen. Naaman knew about the leprosy. And all I'm trying to say is, my brothers and sisters, God knows us publicly and privately. He knows our outward persona, but also he knows our inner weaknesses. But that's why we must be real. Touch your neighbor and say, be real. No masks, no personas, no put-ons, no disguises, no cover-ups. Amen. Come on, somebody shout and say amen. Not hiding behind an image, no concealment, but the real you. Touch your neighbor and say, the real you. You know what we try to hide. God has a way of exposing. No matter who we are, God exposes our humanity. It is because God wants you to know that he can take your weaknesses and do wonders if you're willing to allow him to. The Apostle Paul, amen, in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter in the 9th verse says, we are made spectacles unto the world and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Amen. It doesn't matter the situation you're in. God can take you and use you if you're willing to let him do it. Although in times past, he had gained Samaria's victories. And somehow his condition underneath the armor began to affect his work. The author, amen, lists all of these things that Naaman, but added, but he was a leper. Despite all the good things that were said about Naaman, there was something that kept Naaman from being whole, and that was leprosy. Leprosy, my brothers and sisters, was kind of kindred to AIDS of Naaman's day. The Israelites were instructed that those who had leprosy were considered to be unclean and had to live in a colony outside the city. The lepers, amen, were to have no contact with those without leprosy. Lepers had to warn an approaching person that they were a leper. They had to yell, leper, leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. It was incurable, amen, by all human standards, but not by God's standards. There was even, amen, some diseases, amen, that by all human standards were incurable, but not with God. God says all things are possible if we believe. Even in the era of sin, only Jesus, amen, can cure a sin sick man. That's why you can't get yourself right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have to just come to Jesus just as you are. I came to Jesus, what? Just as I am, amen, wearied, worn, and sad. But I found him in what? A resting place. Now, safe am I. Thank God for his love. And so we must allow Jesus to do the changing. We must allow the redemptive work of Christ to save our soul and to make us whole. The song says, amen, Lord, make me whole. Make me whole. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my soul. Here's my hands. Here's my heart. Make me whole. Only Jesus can save us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's good news, my brothers and sisters. The only way you can get to the Father is by the Son, Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, leprosy is a debilitating disease that grew worse day by day. Sin is a debilitating disease of the soul that only grows worse instead of better. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there must be a change in the heart. If there's no change, amen, sin brings about death. James 1:15 says, then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Thank God for Jesus who brings forth life and righteousness and peace. Somebody know what I'm talking about. But we need to let others know, amen, that Romans 6:23 is a very powerful scripture. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, that's the good news. The gift of God, amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's move on a little further. The young maid said, I would to God that my master was with the prophet in Samaria. There was a little maid in the text whose name the Bible does not give. The Bible does not mention her name, but it does not take away, amen, from her great work. We ought not want recognition for what we do for the Lord. There are some, amen, who do much behind the scenes that you'll never know what they have done, but God knows. She didn't have a great position or notoriety or a famous name. The Bible says she was a servant. God can use, amen, a spirit to serve. Amen. And when you have a spirit of service, you realize who it is that you are serving. You're not serving the pastor. You're not serving Valley Berean, but you're serving the Lord. She waited on Naaman's wife. She was not concerned about notoriety or fame. God had divinely positioned this maid in order to effect his purpose. Nobody knew her name, but she had profound effect on the outcome of Naaman's condition. She said, I would be happy if he can just make his way to the prophet in Samaria and he'll be healed. He'd be healed. That's faith. You got to have some faith. You got to believe that God is able to change a person's situation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God is able to change a person's condition and change a person's situation. Doesn't matter what it is, even if it's leprosy, like Naaman had. But this maid had faith in her God, like we have faith in our God. I would that he can just make it to the man of God. He would be healed. The 8th verse of the 5th chapter. Let's read that. The Bible says, and it was so that Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9. And so Naaman came with his horses. Make sure you picture this now. Here Naaman come with all of the pomp and circumstance. Amen. The Bible says, and Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha, the prophet, the man of God. Can you see the picture? Naaman with his limo rolls up, amen, to the prophet's door, amen, expecting a miracle. Hallelujah. Can you see the picture? So he rolled up, if you will, to the prophet's door, to the prophet's house. And verse 10 said, now here's the situation. Elisha, the man of God, he didn't even come out. He came to the prophet's house, amen, that he can be healed, and the prophet didn't even come outside. Bible says, amen, he sent a messenger, verse 10, unto him, saying, see, because sometimes we get mixed up and caught up in what we expect, the way the Lord is going to do it, amen. But Elijah sent a messenger. What the messenger had was a powerful message. He sent the messenger, and he told him, come on, everybody say it with me, go and wash in Jordan seven times, not six times, but seven times. God has a very specific plan for your blessing. He had a specific plan for your healing. He said, go wash. Where? Anybody know about the Jordan? The man of God told this man of pomp and circumstance, this man that rose up, amen, with great status in the city and in the country, he rolled up to his door, and the man of God told him to go wash in a muddy Jordan. No doubt Naaman must have thought to himself, how can I be washed in a dirty river and made clean? Wash, he said. Not just one time, not two times, not three times, not four, but I want you to go wash in the Jordan seven times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 11, Naaman was wroth, Naaman was angry, Naaman was mad, and the Bible said, and he went away and said, behold, I thought. See, I thought can rob us of a blessing. If we have our way of thinking how God should do it, you just may miss out on a blessing. Naaman almost missed out on a miracle because he said, I thought. What did he say? I thought. I thought. He said he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the lepers. Verse 12, like J. Vernon McGee said, this is where the rubber meets the road. He said in verse 12, are not Pharpar and Abana, amen. These were rivers in the land of which he came from. Pharpar, Abana meaning swift river, and amen. And you know about swift rivers, right? Anything, amen, that's a river that continues to flow, usually it's clear. Crystal clear. We have the river of Abana. It's swift. Amen. But I've come to tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's not the swiftness of your actions, but the anointing that makes the difference. Somebody say it's the anointing. See, he didn't understand at first, amen, that there was a difference between the river of Abana. It may have been swift. It may have been clear. It may have been crystal. Amen. Like, the not only the rivers of Abana, but the rivers of Pharpar, amen. Pharpar means golden, the golden river, amen. Constant stream. It was clear. It was crystal. Praise God. But the problem was it wasn't anointed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Naaman said, amen, we have some crystal clear rivers. We have a stream, amen, that flows all the time. It's a beautiful river. It's golden. It was golden, but it wasn't anointed. Somebody say it wasn't anointed. It looks, my brothers and sisters, an appearance can be deceiving. Pharpar, amen, may have appeared to be clear, crisp, clean, but the blessing was not there. The blessing was in the Jordan. Somebody say the blessing was in the Jordan. The blessing was in the Jordan. The Jordan was muddy. It was cloudy. It was murky, but there was an anointing there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Obedience is real important. Hallelujah. Faith is real important. He said, are not these rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Well, I have to answer that question. The answer is no. Because God chose, hear me very closely now, God chose the river Jordan to heal him. And it says here, may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Now he about to miss out on his blessing. Brothers and sisters, don't miss out on your blessing. See, because when God does something a little different than the way we think that he would do it, when God's, amen, word comes forth and said, I'm going to do it this way, we have to allow ourselves to be flexible enough, amen, to believe God enough to trust him at his word, that if the Lord say do something that just, watch it now, that just don't make sense. Come on. Sometimes God may ask you to do something that just doesn't make sense. Go wash in a muddy Jordan. Now, that doesn't make sense. Spock said, that's not logical. But God doesn't operate like that. God operates by faith. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. He says in verse 13, and his servants came and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more then when he said to thee, go wash and be clean? That's a word of wisdom there. So he said, go wash in the Jordan. Elisha remained, amen, inside his house, amen, to emphasize to Naaman that neither money nor position could buy or influence his healing. I said money or influence or position, amen, cannot influence healing. It's only faith in God. Somebody say faith in God. And washing in the Jordan emphasizes God's power to heal. You see, my brothers and sisters, God's prescription for Naaman was to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times to be made whole. 6 times was not enough, but God said 7. Somebody say 7. Many times we lose out on the blessing of God because we fail to do what God prescribed for us in his word. It takes an act of faith to do what God says to do when the physical looks like there is no way. I've come to tell you this morning that God is a way maker and Jesus is the great physician. Naaman went to Elijah's house in his horses and chariots, but Elijah never came out to meet him. He sent a message. Tell Naaman to go wash in that old muddy Jordan. But what Naaman didn't know is that Elisha was giving him a prescription for his healing. A prescription for his healing. We all know about, amen, lepers and what the Bible has to say. When you get a chance, read the 14th chapter of Leviticus, and it's filled with remedies regarding leprosy. Let me just read a couple of them, and I move on. The 14th chapter says, there shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him, that is, to be clean, 2 birds alive, clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Sounds familiar? And the priest shall command that the one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as a living bird shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him, that is, to be cleansed from the leprosy, 7 times. 7 times. And it shall be pronounced him clean, and shall let the living bird loose upon the open field. Very interesting, isn't it? Let's read verse 14. And it says, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him. Now, that's pretty specific, isn't it? The tip of the right ear of him that it is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. That's pretty specific, isn't it? And verse 15 said, and the priest shall take some of the log of the oil and pour it upon the palm of his own left hand. Now the Lord says, and he said, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil and that his of his left hand, and he shall sprinkle of the oil of his finger 7 times before the Lord. That's pretty specific, isn't it? And he says, and the rest of that oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. God is pretty specific about his prescription. Wouldn't you say that? All right, let's read it on. And so, my brothers and sisters, we must follow God's instructions in order to be healed. Hallelujah. Somebody go ahead and just lift up the name of Jesus. All right, everybody. Somebody say not 6, but 7. God said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and you shall come out clean. Now stand on your feet, because we're going to take part in this one. Bless the name of the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, mass, amen, healing service getting ready to take place, not just in this place, but going forth. Because God is saying, I'm a healing God. I'm the Lord God Rapha. Besides me, there is no other. I am the healer. And if there's anybody in this place today stand in need of a healing, what you're going to do today is you're going to dip. Somebody say dip. You know what dip is, right? Now, you can't be pretty about it. Sometimes, you know, we miss out on a blessing because we want to be pretty about it. God say dip, and we want to be healed. We want to be pretty about it.
No, we need to dip.
Somebody say dip. God said dip seven times. That's what we're going to do. We're going to dip seven times. All right? But before we dip, I just got to describe some things because we need to understand what we're dipping for. He said, dip seven times and you shall come forth clean. So the first thing I want to talk about as we dip is the first dip is going to be in regard to be healed of pain. Somebody say healed of pain. Now, pain is a very broad area, but we need to dip in order to be healed of pain. Isaiah 53 and 4 said, surely he has borne our griefs. That's our pain. That's our anguish. That's our sorrow. Jesus bore them on the cross. And the Bible said, and he carried our sorrows. Why are you carrying them? When God said, turn them over to me and I'll handle everything. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. For first of all, the Lord cares for you. And if you want to be healed of the pain that you've been experiencing, then we got to dip. Not yet. All right. All right. Pain is a result in some cases is as a result of rejection. Some of us may have been rejected in some time in our life and we are experiencing a certain pain that we have experienced rejection in life. Pain from broken relationships, that bad marriage, that messy divorce. Amen. Pain. Pain from physical and verbal abuse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Pain as a result of a trauma or an emotional wounds. Pain from mental scars. Pain that seems to be hard to silence. You ever talk to a person that's hooked on drugs and alcohol? What do they tell you? I'm just trying to silence the pain I feel. Pain that causes substance abuse and alcoholism. Most people you talk to who find themselves hooked on drugs will tell you, amen, they didn't, amen, one day decide to get hooked on crack cocaine or methadone, amen, or painkiller medication, maybe even something simple as sleeping pills. They will tell you that they just wanted to silence the pain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Silence the hurts, past conflict, past confusion, past doubt. Substance abuse will only mask the pain and muffle the sound. But Jesus, somebody say Jesus, is able to remove the pain. Jesus can remove the pain. We're going to dip, amen, we're going to dip in order to be healed of pain of unresolved self-worth and identification. Dip in order to be healed of the pain of criticism and low expectations and critical self-worth. We're going to dip in order to be healed of emotional turmoil, of inner conflict and emotional storm. We're going to dip in order to be healed of mental turbulence and healed of the reality of life's instability and commotion going on. Healed of internal unrest that nobody else know but you. I've come this morning to let you know that Jesus is able to heal you of pain. So I'm getting ready to tell you, go ahead and dip.
Come on, dip. 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 Everybody just go down.
In that muddy Jordan. Dip. Somebody say dip. 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 Amen. 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 You see, amen, who else can cleanse you? Who else can make you whole, amen, from this water? I come to tell you his name is Jesus. Jesus. Somebody shout and say, Jesus, Jesus, that number one, that was the number one dip right there. Amen. You just dipped so God can release you of that pain. Pain, you've been trying to silence it for a long time. Medication didn't do it. Alcohol didn't do it. Cocaine didn't do it. But the power of God is able to do it. Number two, a long life journey. As you live, you will live and you will come across various issues, various experiences that you, amen, experience in life, and it tends to affect us. It may have happened yesterday, but it's affecting you today. It may have happened yesterday, but it's affecting you tomorrow. Along this life journey, we pick up all of these things. Experiences cause us to pick up issues. I call it junk. Junk. Touching them, say junk. Sometimes because of experience, junk began to accumulate. Junk just following us. Somebody say junk. Junk. We getting ready to dip and get these issues off us. Come on, come on. I know that experience was bad, but I'm getting ready to release this junk. Touching them, say, I'm getting ready to release this junk. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. Issues. You ever met anybody like that? Some people, amen, we meet dealing with things. They are issues because of experience. Somebody did something to you that caused issues to be following you around. Can't even stay in a relationship because of issues. Can't stay married because of issues. Can't stay in a relationship because of issues. Somebody say issues. Well, God is going to heal you of issues today in the name of Jesus. Issues following us around. Come on, can't move forward because of the past. Can't let loose because of an experience. Well, I come to tell you today, I'm going to release those issues. Touch your name and say, release those issues. Say it again, release those issues. You can't move forward because it's the weight of issues. Come on, somebody say amen. That's being dragged around. Issues. We can walk around, but not long, and it become evident. Amen. We got some issues. Touch your name, say issues. Not everybody may tell you, amen, but God will tell you that's some issues following you around that you got to turn loose in order to be healed. Come on. God knows what we've been through. God is saying turn it loose. Issues. What's that? I'm trying to go forward. I'm trying to go up. I'm trying to be lifted out of this situation. What's that? There's issues following me. God say he's going to release you of those issues today. Junk. But God's going to release you and heal you of it today in the name of Jesus. Accumulated over time. It does not matter who you are. If you have lived long enough, then you've gone through something that have affected you along the way. Experiences that have attached itself to your inner psyche. That's how you think. Come on. How we think. Thus causing you to become stuck in a place in life, unable to move forward. Missed opportunities. Missed blessings. But today, somebody say today. You need to dip in order to be healed of those accumulated issues. Come on, everybody, just dip. Dip, come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for healing today. Oh, yeah, you've been released of those issues, amen. You got to know it. When you leave this place today, don't take them with you. Don't pick them back up. Amen. Sometimes, amen, people come into the house of God, amen, and God heals them. Those afflictions, praise God. Somebody shout and say amen. God say you heal in the name of Jesus, amen. The man or woman of God will touch you, and God say you heal. Praise God, amen. And we're so used to it, praise God, amen. After we get ready to leave the place, we pick up. Come on, those burdens carrying right on back out the door with us. You got to release them and say, bye-bye pain, bye-bye issues, bye-bye sickness, bye-bye affliction, bye-bye sorrow, affliction, pain, come on, junk, bye-bye junk. I don't know nobody in their right mind want to hold on to junk. Praise God. Come on, shout and say amen. There's a man that drives around the community in a truck. Hallelujah. And people call him the junk man. And anytime, praise God, we got some things that just been lingering, accumulating in the house, praise God, and we get ready to get rid of them, and it seems like they just linger. We tell our mind, you know, I'm going to take that out. I'm going to take that somewhere. I'm going to take it to Salvation Army. I'm going to take it to the junkyard. I'm going to get rid of it. Somehow or another, it just seems to still be there, just laying there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you know, thank God for opportunity. Praise. Somebody say opportunity. Because see, sometimes we can be well-meaning, amen, but God knows, amen, you got to do something about the situation. Praise God. So God, somebody say God, will help us out. And lo and behold, praise God, God sends by the junk man. Eli, here come the junk man. Grab that mattress, grab that sofa, grab that steel, grab that refrigerator, whatever it is. Get it out. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. If you really want to get rid of it, you don't care what you look like. Praise God, you start grabbing and pulling. Praise God. Come on, get it out and pull it on out there and release it in the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I got the refrigerator. Now let me go ahead and pull out that sofa. Hold on, I got something else I want to put out. That's how we got to do with the Lord. I got some junk I want to get rid of. Come on. If you got to drag it, I'll drag it out. If you got to pull it, I'll pull it out. If you got to get a dolly, get a dolly. Come on. Issues. Stuff. Stuff and issues. Issues and stuff. In the way. Trying to get around the house. Trying to go somewhere. Stuff in the way. Trying to move up, stuff in the way. Trying to get a job, stuff in the way. Trying to hold a job, stuff in the way. Trying to get a promotion, stuff in the way. Trying to start a business, stuff in the way. Issues. Issues. That's limiting us when God wanted to raise us up to the top and make us whole. Issues. Issues. Well, I want to tell you today that God has just delivered you and healed you of issues. Go ahead and praise the Lord.
Come on. Touch your name and say issue. No more junk anymore.
They got this show called Hoarding. And their whole objective is because so much stuff have accumulated to the point where it becomes unsafe. Living quarters is just so cluttered. Come on, come on. God wants to come into some hearts and unclutter that clutterness. Come on, somebody talk to me. Clutter everywhere, praise God. A clutter here, clutter there, mountains of clutter everywhere. God says he wants to clean out that house. You know, it's hard to understand a person that wants to hold on to clutter. Because the more you try to help out a person that has clutter, the more they want to hold on to it. Watch it now, watch it, watch it. You say, why do you want to hold on to this? It really doesn't have any value. They say, well, I want to hold on to it just in case. I might need it. Now, you done had it for 15 years laying around. It's rusting in your yard. Come on. But I might need it one day. No, get rid of it. Paper. Paper piled up. Throwing out the room. Things that we don't want to get rid of. I might get audited. I might need this information. Shred it and get rid of it. In the name of Jesus. Junk, junk. Somebody say junk. Junk. Junk, junk. That's what God is healing today. God is healing us of all of those accumulated things that is limiting us from really moving into where God wants us to be. Don't blame it on nobody else. No, you need to get rid of the junk. Come on, somebody say amen. We play that blame game. It's all because of so-and-so that I can't get to where I want to go. No, you need to get rid of that junk, that issues, and go ahead and move forward. Can I say this? There is no one individual that have that kind of power unless you give it to them. And there is no one thing that has that kind of power to hold you down unless you give it to it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody say dip. Now I got to deal with this one because sometimes people end up in a situation that they're in and they don't understand why they're going through what they're going through. Many times it's because of bad decisions. Somebody say bad decisions. Oh, bless the Lord. Lord, deliver us from bad decisions. I'm single and I haven't gotten married yet. And my time is moving. Everybody think I should be married by now, but I'm not. And sometimes, you know, God's clock is just different from our clock. But don't try to help God out. Because sometimes in the process of trying to help God out, we make a bad decision that we come to regret for a lifetime. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Bad decisions, amen, and various things in life. God is going to deliver us today from bad decisions. Because if we're going to move into our purpose and our destiny in life, we got to put a check on bad decisions. Yeah, we may have made some bad decisions in time past, but it's time to come on out of that place of bad decisions. Come on, somebody say, I've been healed of bad decisions. Bad decisions, bad decisions. Dip in order to be healed of past decisions and future choices. I wonder if there's anyone in this place who have made some bad decisions
that you have come to regret, decisions that have haunted you, decisions that have affected your life for decades. Today, somebody's going to be healed of the critical condition of bad decisions. Lord, give them a gift and ability to make right decisions. Amen. Not out of frustration, not out of disappointment. Amen. But good decisions and good decision making. All right. Come on, everybody. Dip. So now, amen, when you hear that sweet, soft voice of the Lord, amen, that's leading you in the right path, that's telling you what's right, that's telling you the right decision, the right path, the right way, then you walk in that. It's not hard. You just got to be obedient. It doesn't start by whether it's easy or hard. It starts by whether or not you want to do it. You have to first want to obey God. Come on, somebody say amen. Nobody twisting your arm. Nobody have a gun to your head. You making a decision. And God say, make the right decision. Make the right decisions. Somebody say, make the right decisions. All right, all right, all right. We healed of that now, right? What about the blame game? You know, God had to heal me of that. Now, without getting into all the detail of some of the things that I've been through, God had to heal me of the blame game. And because there were some people that I just blamed for everything. Uh-huh. I just blamed them for everything. Yes, if I had something I thought was going wrong, I'd blame that person. I'm the way that I am because of that person. I can't do what I can do because of that person. I can't move forward because of that person. Come on, somebody say, I can't stay married because of that person. I can't raise kids because of that person. The devil is a liar. I done raised 4 kids, hallelujah, and a grandson that I'm helping out with. The devil is a liar. All of these young men walking around, amen, don't want to have anything to do with their offspring. You better come on back and be responsible. And stop blaming everybody else because of what somebody else did. You mean to tell me I can't raise my children the right way? Come on, somebody talk to me. No, on a counter wise, maybe God just shook something up in my spirit that made me make up in my mind, wherever my kid is, I'm going to be there. If they have a baseball game, I'm going to be there. If they had a football game, I'm going to be there. If they got practice, I'm going to be there. If they got an award ceremony, I'm going to be there. Amen. It's very interesting. I even get text messages even today. My daughter texts me, praise God, Jaden is having a baseball game. Dad, you're going to be there. That says something about my daughter, amen, to expect me to be there for my grandson. Because she know that I was there for them, for every baseball game, every basketball game, every football game, every track meet. I don't care where it was. God was so gracious. He opened up the door for me to be available. If they went to Chicago, I was there. If they went to Virginia or Baltimore or Washington or Texas or Nevada, amen, or San Diego or wherever it was, praise God, I was there. I made up in my mind, sister, that I was going to be there for my children. And here we are years later and they're grown. Don't blame nobody else. Stop it. I can't do it because of him. Or I can't do it because of her. Now, I'm going to get to unforgiveness in a minute. Because some say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. Because God says that you need to forgive. Now, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But right now, the Lord is saying, stop blaming other folk. Because what you're doing is giving them the power over your life. And I refuse to give anybody the power. See, my wife probably get a little frustrated with me sometime. You know, cause you know, I say it like it's a song. We have to take control, if you will, of our own destiny. When you put it in somebody else's hands, they're going to determine where you go and how long you remain there. You got to put it in your own hands. Stop blaming everybody else for what you didn't do. Amen. Pick up that book. Go to school if you have to. Get trained. Whatever it is, just do what you need to do. Somebody said, but it's hard. Yeah, anything that's worth getting is hard. It's going to take some work. The problem is that some people are afraid of work. Tell some people, well, you got to work hard. They look at me like, work? Yes. It's not a bad word. Work. Go to school? Yes. You need to go to school. I did not say that going to school is the answer bullet to everything. But we may be able to lift ourselves up out of, maybe we need to go to school. I said, I can't get a job. Okay. All right. The reality is you can't get a job. So my question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and sit down and say, woe is me, I can't find a job? Okay. There are all kind of technical schools out there. There are all kind of classes out there. And if you don't want to sit in a class, praise God for the internet. They got all kind of training on the internet. You don't even have to go sit in a classroom. You want to learn how to do this, that, this, that, and this, so that you don't have to go and sit in front of somebody to tell you they don't have a job for you. Okay. Did you realize that we have other options? God has planted creating power in you. That's something we forget. We forget God placed creating power in us. Come on, we want to create for somebody else when you got the power. Am I talking to anybody today? Can I help anybody today? Listen, if you want to change, you got to be willing to change. Stop blaming everybody. All right, can I move on? Or do I need to labor there a little bit more? And by the way, let me say this right now. What was that, Pastor? What was that? That was anointing that God has given each one of you right now. Now you have a responsibility that every young person that you come across in your life, don't let them tell you what they can't do. I want you to tell them what they can. Listen, if you got to jump start it, then jump start it. If you got to help them out and start them out, start them out. Let me show you the website that you can go to. Let me give you some information. Go on this day at this time. Do I need to pick you up? Or I come pick you up. I'll take you if I have to. Just be ready. Don't let me come by. You're not ready now. You know what a jump start is, right? You know what a jump start is, right? That's when a car, you get out there and you're trying to start and it just won't start. You get one of those battery chargers to jumpstart it. And sometimes you may have to help to jumpstart somebody. Once they get the hang of it, they on the road now. All right, y'all. Good God. Okay. Woo, Jesus. Wow, this is heavy. Just on number 4. All right, let's get to number 5. When we get to 6 and 7, it's going to be pretty fast. Everybody done with the blame game, right? Touch your name and say, move on. I'm not talking about no organization. I said, move on. Move on. Move on. All right. Number 5. Okay. You know that word called unforgiveness? All right. I'm getting ready to paint a picture now, y'all. And this is how unforgiveness is. Unforgiveness is like this. When a person don't want to release it, unforgiveness is like a bandit that will just say, stick him up! You will not release that. That's how unforgiveness is. Unforgiveness is like a robber that's robbing you of so many things. Stick him up! Anybody know what I'm talking about? We got to understand that unforgiveness is robbing you of a whole lot of things. For those who choose not to forgive, notice I said choose. You know, I've taught lessons on forgiveness and releasing unforgiveness. Pastor, do you understand what they did to me? Notice the key word is did. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it. It may not be good English, but y'all just excuse me. But did is the operative word. Well, Pastor, that's not good English. That's all right. I'm making a point. Did is the operative word. You don't understand what they did to me. I want to let you know that with unforgiveness, there is a very steep price to pay. A steep price to pay. Well, I want to hold on to, okay. But I just want to let you know that if you choose to hold on to unforgiveness, it's a very steep price to pay. Are you willing to pay that price? The Bible says in Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men of their trespasses, neither,
come on,
will your Father forgive your trespasses. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. That's what unforgiveness would do. It will come and trouble you. Bitterness, anger, strife, stress, working on the inside, and eventually it's like a cancer. That eventually, you know what it will do? We got to be careful because, you know, that's the reason why, you know, listen, I'm going to just plant this. And this is something just, because I know it's way different from where I was, but I know I need to say it, okay? All right, it's totally out there, but let me just say it for a minute. We need to eat right. Somebody say amen. I already hear amen choir. And when we have habits, it's hard to break. Amen. I have my mind made up that I'm going to eat the right food, praise God. And here come fried fish and pork chops. You know, now somebody said, Pastor, where you going with that? Let me show you. See, because we don't experience the effects of bad eating today, it's hard for us to change. Over time is where the real damage is done. If you continue to allow unforgiveness and bitterness and all of those things to be accumulated on the inside, it's going to take root and it's going to be like a cancer, and eventually it's going to affect the outside. So you might as well go ahead and release it right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, release it in the name of Jesus. Many people are forfeiting on their blessings, in some cases physical healing, simply because they refuse to forgive. Forgiveness in many cases is their healing medication. Is there something that have harmed you so bad until you are unable to forgive? Well, it's time to dip. Come on, everybody, dip. Now, this one is real serious. Yeah, this one is real serious. Unforgiveness. Somebody in this place is being healed of unforgiveness. You may not see it yet. You may not even know it yet, but watch it. Watch it. When you come across that person, it's going to be like it never happened. I said, Pastor, I don't know what that feels. You go ahead and walk by them. And when you know God healed you, you'll be able to walk past that person. Listen. And there'll be no emotions. There's some people you can't be in the same room with without igniting some kind of emotion. But God said he's going to heal you. He has healed you of that in the name of Jesus. Now you can walk right in the room, say, thank you, Jesus. Bless God. I love you. And mean it. And they're going to say, what is this? Who is this person? Okay. Number six. Well, number six and seven, I'm just going to pull it together. How about that? All right, so we're going to dip two times on this one. Listen, there is something called guilt and shame. Now, all of these things that I have covered is if you go to school, you know what I'm talking about. There's an area that you study, and I understand that God has dealt with this area before I ever took the class, praise God. And see, what God does is he heals the whole you. He heals the spirit, he heals the soul, he heals your mind, he heals your will, he heals your emotions, he heals your spirit, soul, and body. And so this area is an area that deals with the inner hurts and the inner wounds, which many times through time past have been neglected in some forms or another. We preach and teach on how to be saved and healed and receive eternal life. That's good. But we ought not leave out all that emotional pain and mental turmoil, because God wants to heal you of that too. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. So the last two, amen, is that God wants to heal us of guilt and shame. These are twins. Guilt and shame. See, because if you find guilt, you're going to find shame. And if you don't get rid, you got to get rid of both of them. Amen. You got to get rid of guilt, the guilt and the shame. One of the major weapons that the enemy uses against the believer is guilt and shame. And see, you got to be careful, because if you allow guilt and shame to enter in, it's like being tormented. Every time you get ready to do something, here come guilt and shame.
Uh-oh, here come guilt and shame.
Don't let the devil use those weapons on you. Guilt and shame will rob a person, hear me, of their great potential, of their spiritual vitality and well-being.
Guilt and shame. You trying to praise the Lord, and here comes guilt. You trying to raise your hands, and here comes shame. First, you got to dismiss guilt and tell shame to go. And go ahead and praise the Lord and lift your hands and praise him.
Woo! Hallelujah. See, and y'all just please forgive me because God just didn't make me that quiet, subdued preacher. And I love him. Like a Pastor Jack, I love Pastor Jack. I love him. I love him.
Amen? Because if you listen at his teaching, it's very intellectual. And you know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I just love the word that he teach. And then there's a T.D. Jakes that is just so animated.
I'm trying to say, God don't make preachers all the same way. So don't try to put me in a box. Because God just made me animated.
When I was born, I think I was animated. Praise God. I'm convinced of that. I believe that. That's just who he made me. He called me that way. And don't try to press me down and put me in a box. Say,
Pastor, you're making too much noise. I'm going to make some noise for Jesus. As long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to praise him. We ought to all praise him. It's time out for quiet churches and, you know, kind of like funeral service. Listen, this is not a funeral service. There is not a body laying up here before this altar. We ought to make some.
You know, it's kind of funny how we get when we come into the church. You know what I'm talking. We forget about all that expression we had when we was in the world. We were very expressive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah, we were expressive.
Y'all know I wouldn't always say, right? But thank God that I am now. And don't you miss that part. But we were very expressive before we became saved.
You know what I'm talking about. Do I need to explain it? Oh, I'm going to go ahead and just give just a little description. Because we forget, because when we come into the church, we act like we are at a funeral service. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. No,
this is a time to celebrate because God has been good. I'm telling you, this whole neighborhood ought to know we having church in this place. We should be in phone calls from people 3, 4, 5, 12 houses down the street. See, and that church is making a whole lot of noise. All right, I'll leave that alone, y'all. I'll leave it alone. Do people know that you love the Lord? Come on. See, because you got to be expressive.
Somebody said, Pastor, I'm just not like that. No, I'm not trying to say we like clones. What I'm trying to say is in your own way, go ahead and bless the Lord. Make some kind of noise and go ahead and praise him. Praise him in the back room. Praise him in the front room. Praise him in the pulpit. Praise him in the pews. Praise him all over. Young people. Come on, stand on your feet, young people. I'm done. Stand on your feet. See? Because there's nothing like serving the Lord. Don't let the devil fool you. All right. All right, y'all.
Go ahead and dip, y'all.
Dip, 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 dip. Yep, I've been released of shame. I've been released of guilt. I've been released of shame. No longer will I allow the devil, amen, to torment me and bring me into spiritual harassment. Amen. If we trace back, amen, the fall of man in the garden, it was only after they fell for the devil's tricks did the guilt and shame come into existence. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were found in the garden fellowshipping with God, unashamed. But when sin entered, they were found naked in the shame with the consciousness of shame. But when God asked, he said, who told you?
Who told you? That wasn't the issue before. Who told you
that you were naked? Who told you? Who told you? Guilt and shame have their strongest grip when kept in the darkness of a person's soul. Sin must be confessed to God in order to be healed. Embarrassment and shame is a tool that the enemy used to keep a person from being truthful with themselves and truthful with God by admitting their faults and